So we are going to talk about Hannity in the last segment, but we had to pray. We did. We had to pray. I'll be watching Fox tonight to see if Dana LaRouche has lost her hands. Don't know if that will happen. If there is a God, if there is Jesus Christ, if there is Joseph Smith, that will happen. She will pull up her hands. They will be lobsters. They will be claws. We will know a bunch of people not to pay taxes on a bunch of money and property and at their disposal have a whole bunch of young boys. I don't know. I know. You guys are getting upset at me now. Okay, so real quick, while we still have time in this live segment, Hannity, and I gotta give Hannity some props on this. Okay, and it wasn't last night that made me go, oh, I like Sean Hannity. He's been growing on me. He has. He's been growing on me. Hannity's been growing on me. All right, he's been going on. Oh, last night, and it's because I heard it in the car. Remember, I've told you guys this before. On Tuesday, I have to try out a valley. It's a horrible, horrible experience. But I have to do it. I have to drive. It takes me about a half hour to get out to Chatsworth. Depending on the traffic, it could take me up to an hour. It's horrible. It's effing horrible. It really is. And I'm able, the positive things, I'm able to listen to Hannity and events on. Not that that's enjoyable. But at least monitor those a-holes they're talking about. I'm able to monitor what those a-holes are talking about. Now, Hannity, I actually enjoy. So I'm in the car, I'm driving, and I hear Hannity arguing. And I'm not sure who he's arguing with. He's always arguing with someone. That's the great thing about Hannity. That he's always got somebody on, and they're arguing, or he has, you know, he'll have three people on, they all argue. It's just a big argument fest. So I'm listening, and all of a sudden I'm like, he's talking to Ted Cruz. So Hannity did what I did, pretending on my part that Ted Cruz is actually in front of me, and I'm saying to him, how the hell do you get the nomination? You're mathematically eliminated. How do you win on your second and third ballot and expect to some support from millions of people when millions of people have not voted for you? You know, all of the questions that I asked. So, Hannity, and let me just throw some of this. I mean, it really was fascinating because Hannity kept pressuring him. So, Hannity says to him, I think the number one question on the minds of Republicans right now is what is going on with delegates? For example, if you could explain to people that your campaign, that you have every right within the rules to talk to candidates that are pledged on the first ballot, to candidate A or candidate C, you being candidate B, and that tell us what that process is. And then Cruz said, this isn't what people are concerned about. The media loves to obsess about the process. And this process and this whining from the Trump campaign is all silly. It's very, very simple. And then Hannity interrupted him and said, listen, I'm on social media with millions of people. I have 550 radio stations, and I have the top-rated cable show in my hour all across the board. And I'm telling you that people are telling me that they find this whole process confusing. It's in the integrity of the election question, and everybody's asking me this question. So I'm giving you an opportunity to explain. And then Cruz responded with, you know, when you hear people talk about condescending Cruz and how he's dismissive, and he goes, Sean, the only people asking this question are the hardcore Donald Trump supporters. And then Sean cut him off and said, Senator, why do you do this? Every single time you've got to stop. Every time I have you on the air and I ask a legitimate question, you try to throw this in my face. I'm getting sick of it. I've had you on more than any other candidate on radio and TV. So if I ask you, Senator, a legitimate question to explain to the audience, why don't you just answer it? It was great. It really was great. That's why I said, I'm like, who's he arguing with? This is getting all crazy. And then it's, oh my gosh, it's Ted Cruz, his boy. So then Cruz says, Sean, I can answer your question without being interrupted. I said, Utah, North Dakota, Wisconsin, Colorado, Wyoming. All of which had 1.2 million people vote, which, again, is a lie. It's an absolute lie. We won all five. All of this noise and complaining and whining has come from the Trump campaign because they don't like the fact that they have five elections in a row that Republicans are uniting behind our campaign. So they're screaming on Drudge. And it's getting echoed, this notion of voterless election. It is nonsense. They are making it up. Over 1.3 million people voted. We won landslides in all five. I mean, that is a bold-faced lie. The guy is delusional. Now, there is a second component, and this is where Cruz goes into the whole delegate process. Now, there is a second component beyond the elections, which the individual delegates are elected by the people. Donald Trump's campaign does not know how to organize on the grassroots. And so, when the delegates are elected, real conservative activists show up and they elect delegates. And we are winning those elections over and over and over again. The Donald Trump campaign doesn't know what they're doing. They don't show up in Colorado. The Donald Trump team was handing out flyers asking their supporters to vote for a slate of delegates. They included Cruz delegates on their slate. They didn't even know how to type up a piece of paper without getting it wrong. In Washington State, when Washington State elected their delegates 3 days before the election, the Donald Trump campaign, in a panic, realized Washington State was getting ready to elect their delegates. They sent out an emergency email to their Washington supporters, but they screwed up and sent their Washington, D.C. supporters instead of their Washington State supporters. I cannot help that Donald Trump campaign does not seem to be capable of running a lemonade stand. Elections are won by voters and grassroots activists showing up and voting for the candidate they support. Nobody, as I travel the country, nobody is asking me this other than the Trumpsters and people repeating it. And then Hannity goes again and says, explain what happens in these moments with delegates after their state's votes. It's a simple question. It's not a Trump question. It's a question about what's going to happen. You're arguing, Kasich is arguing, that this is going to be settled at the convention. And I think people need to understand it because you know most people don't. And then Cruz again went on. Every time people vote against Trump, they scream the election's been stolen. No, when people vote against you, it means you've lost an election. He then stated that the delegates are elected by the people. And if you want to elect delegates, your supporters come and vote. Every other presidential candidate knows that and figured this out. And by the way, every presidential candidate has known how to figure this out in every prior cycle. Donald Trump's campaign doesn't know what he's doing. It's a Kim Kardashian reality show. And so in Georgia, they elect their delegates. And conservative grassroots activists shown up, and the conservative grassroots overwhelmingly with us. So they elect Cruz delegates. That's the democratic process. Again, I mean, it's Rice-a-roni insider BS that never happens in any other election process and election cycle because the unwritten rules state if you are mathematically eliminated and if you have millions and millions of less people votes, you get out. Because doing the Rice-a-roni, let's win a car game, by doing that, you will go to a convention, you could possibly win the car, but not have millions and millions and millions of people vote for you. So in turn, you being the nominee, you being the leader of the party, is fake. It's not real. It's not legitimate. Which in turn, you splinter a party, you lose the presidency before you even get a shot. Before you get a shot. Before you even get a shot to win it. Remember, you'll get people saying, well, rather you have Trump, you're going to get people that are upset, or you don't have Trump and you have people upset. The Republican Party's effed either way. Well, no. That's not the truth. The Republican Party is going to get killed in a landslide with Trump. Look at his numbers. Look at his negatives. Again, there's time to turn that around. Reagan was down 20, 30 points to Carter. There's time for all that. You're not starting already with a loss. But giving the nomination to somebody that doesn't have the will of the people on board, you already lose. You already out of the gate. It's like a college football team that's on probation and they're not allowed to compete in a national championship or a bowl game. They've already started the season with a loss. No matter how good they are that year, it means nothing because they can't compete for a championship. So they could go undefeated. It's meaningless. It's the same thing. If Cruz or Kasich or somebody else gets the nomination, you already start with a loss. Because they didn't earn it with a popular vote. I understand the rules are the rules. I get that. But the unwritten rules have always been, you're mathematically eliminated, you get out. You don't have the will of the people, you get out. Because going at it with the Rice-A-Roni approach, sure, you can get a contested convention. Sure, you could force a deadlock. Sure, a white knight could come in. But ultimately, the person that then could get that nomination is not going to have the nomination by the will of the people. Now, if you want to argue the flip and say, well, Cruz supporters will be upset, listen, it's a lot easier to mend the bridge with Cruz supporters, because with Cruz supporters, you could honestly say, listen, Trump beat you fair and square. Forget the delegate, forget the Rice-A-Roni math. He won 3 to 4 million more popular votes. You could actually persuade them, but you can't persuade a Trump supporter who says, we beat you. Democracy beat you. Forget rules are the rules. Because by not getting out of the race, your candidate broke the unwritten rules. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. So then Hannity goes on. Mr. Cruz, what if the Senator Cruz, what if the delegate selection doesn't represent the will of the people in that particular district or area? Again, remember everybody, this whole rule of the rule game. Yes, 100% rules are the rules. And they've been around for years. And the whole Rice-A-Roni approach has been around for years, but nobody has done it. And remember my theory the other day, and we're going to talk about it at detail tomorrow. Cruz always had this going in. I told you this. Cruz never anticipated Trump being the front runner. He always anticipated it being Jeb or another one of the establishment types. And Cruz would use his Rice-A-Roni approach to force them to put him on the ticket as the VP. That was what he always intended. As somebody who is a conniving snake, just everything that Cruz is, calculating, and he figured this out years ago. He figured out the way the system is, you can lose the popular vote, but still win delegates and force a contested convention and make the establishment give you something, which is the VP slot. Think about Cruz's concept. Establishment candidate who has a grassroots conservative as the vice president. That was his thinking. That was his thought process. And as Trump was knocking people out and Cruz was buddy-buddy with him, he never thought Trump would last this long. So in his mind, he went, well, let Trump get rid of the establishment types. He'll eventually fade out. And my concept will actually exceed what my expectation was. Because not only could I get the VP spot, but I could actually get the presidential nomination because he's eliminating all the establishment people that I was playing to be the vice president for. exactly what happened. So when Hannity said, what if the delegate selection doesn't represent the will of the people in that particular district or area? Cruz said, Sean, that's why there's an election. And Hannity said, listen, Senator, I don't know why you're mad. There's no reason. I'm asking. I'm just trying to understand it. I'm really having a hard time understanding why you're getting angry at this. I'm asking you the event of this conflict. Cruz then said, oh, I'm not getting mad. I'm just upset because Trump's campaign is trying to distract from real issues. So when you ask only about the nonsense, how about we ask, you know what people ask me when I travel around? How do we bring jobs back? And Hannity said, listen, I've asked you about that more than anybody. And Hannity went on. He said, listen, I've had you on my show and talked about substantive issues more than anyone else. I'm just trying to ask you to explain the process and courting delegates in states that have already voted. I want the audience to understand it. And then Cruz said, Sean, it's not a question of within the rules or not. It's winning elections. These delegates are elected by the people. And when grassroots conservatives come out, we win. And every time there's an election that the conservative grassroots decide, we win. And then Cruz said, the dynamics of all of this will play out in Cleveland. And we will get the majority of delegates. That's Cruz's answer. So I congratulate Sean Hannity for putting that little scumbag on the spot. And then Cruz went on a local Philly radio station and actually had the audacity to complain. It's so funny listening to Cruz complain about the people that are against him, the media that's against him. That's exactly the person asked Cruz. He said, Hannity, do you think Hannity's been unfair to you? And Ted Cruz goes, well, there are hosts who make decisions to go in the tank for Trump. This is a guy who has Mark Levin and Glenn Beck talking his praise. I mean, seriously, Cruz acts like Trump has all these people on his side. All these people. You want to know what's really scary? And we're going to end this segment with this. Think about this, guys. Think about everyone that's against Trump. Think about the over $70 to $80 million that's been spent in negative ads. Think about every newspaper, with the exception of one or two, that have done editorials, mock front pages. I mean, the list goes on. calling Trump a Nazi, calling Trump Mussolini, calling him Hitler. Think about the networks. When you hear the cruise bots talk about all this free media that Trump gets, that's $2 billion worth of free media. Free media to be called a Nazi? Come on. They act like he's gotten $2 billion worth of free advertising of people going, he is the future of our country. He will bring hope and change. You're talking about $2 billion worth of advertising calling him a monster. The National Review printed a magazine that was Never Trump. A whole magazine that was, this person is Satan. The Never Trump people are amazing. Look at all this free media. If a candidate got that, they would be, let me tell you something. If another candidate got $2 billion worth of free media calling that candidate a scumbag, they would have been out 7 months ago. 7 months ago. If you would have had network after network having panel after panel and show after show where the people talked about that candidate being a scumbag, be gone. So, to wrap this up, over $70 billion worth of negative ads. You've had newspaper after newspaper after newspaper calling Trump Hitler. You've had people within the own party, from Mitt Romney to former governors to former senators to sitting senators, say Never Trump. You've had more negative, overwhelming hate for a candidate in the history of this great nation. And yet, he's winning. He is winning. Imagine what would be going on if there wasn't $70 billion spent against Trump by his own party. Imagine if there wasn't newspaper after newspaper. Imagine if Trump got the positive push that Obama got in 08. Trump would probably have, in a general election, 80 million people vote for him. Imagine what he's doing today. Imagine what the turnout would be if you didn't have the hate and the overwhelming pushback against Trump. Think about that. That's scary.